Evening, everyone. We're live straight after the end of Game Week 13's final match, Chelsea United, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Welcome to Net That Hall. We're doing a condensed show today with the tight turnaround. I'll try and get it out on Sunday evening instead of Tuesday, so it will be available on podcast pretty quickly. Nice to see you, Gabe. I'm joined by Gabe again. Second week running, isn't it? It's us running the ship.
It's a ragtag bunch, isn't it, Nima? Now Nima's sick as well, pulling through he's doubtful, but he's still here because he has to play. But we are here, yeah. Early turnaround for us, and preparing for the midweek matchups.
Yeah, so let's just before we go into it then, because we want to just quickly go through the mini league as well. For anyone who's new or hasn't joined the mini league and you're listening on podcast, it is a FG1XMB. So this is a great opportunity to kind of join. First place wins a football jersey from Shirt Loot Box. Second place gets a book about FPL from Matt Whelan, FPL Obsessed on Twitter. And third place gets a premium fantasy football fix membership. So come and compete. But the chances of winning are tight because I think number one in the league at the moment, Gabe, I believe he's actually in the top 100 in the world. So good luck to him. Yeah,
It's
that's
good to
good
have a
info.
high target like that.
Indeed. So swiftly moving on to, I guess, just before we go to the philosophy of the week, let's give a quick shout out to everyone who's here live in the chat and then we'll go into the show swiftly. So just loading up. So Ramanathan is first tonight. So hello, hello, Haller's got his message up on the screen. We've got Blue Danube guy. He had Son and Kane. So it'll be interesting to hear from him tonight in the live chat how that went for him because that sounds rough. We need to hear about the bench points, buddy. Evening, Sam. Who else do we have here? Oh, I see it's Ramanathan and Sam have already given us the updates. So I've just caught up on their acts. Evening, Jared. And yeah, so Sam, I'm wearing like this alpaca coat because it's like so cold here that I'm on Amazon ordering like a kind of oil heater just to have extra heating because the radiator ain't cutting it in this British climate. And evening absurdologist as well. So okay, let's I guess go to the FPL philosophy of the week then next game.
So the FPL philosophy of the week comes to us from Ethiopia. This is an old Ethiopian proverb, and it goes, "An elephant does not limp when walking on thorns." And I thought this was very apropos to your situation today, Nima. You keep going. When something you come along something that hurts, and you just keep going. And I think that's important as we enter the fixture crunch to remember that, like. Yeah, that there was a game that was canceled. Yeah, a bunch of players didn't play. You're getting Livermento off the bench for 0 points. These are thorns, man. These are thorns. And you broaden the lens and you just keep walking like the elephant. So appreciate you being here today, Nima.
Yeah, no, I like that, and it's quite a cutting kind of philosophy. I hadn't seen it before the show, but before we go on to the game week review, what's interesting is it was probably my best game week since like game week six. So since the first international break, my biggest green arrow since then. I've had one gray arrow since then where I went up like 500 places, and one green last week where I went up from 32 to 28. But this week I'm very happy to announce that I've gone up from 28K to 10,004, I
Ooh.
think. Something nuts like that. So it's
Almost
a big green.
top 10K. Someday you'll get there, man. We
Almost,
keep
just
working.
about. Yeah, it's, and today,
10,004.
I'm always just out. So it's like when I've always wanted to be top 1,000 and I've always been around like 1,000 and something. It's never made its triple digit, but maybe this season, this is the highest I've been in 9 years at this stage. So I think all of us on net that all are having a great week. I think Mariner might even be ahead of me. Yeah, so it's
Nice.
been a
Good for
busy week,
him.
but I guess that's the main thing. So I just trot along, as you say. Shit went wrong. I did stuff like sell Kane to Vardy 2 weeks ago, and like every bad decision, like when I went Saka over Smith Rowe. Finally, this week I was able to be at the Emirates and actually watch Saka and White and enjoy those kind of differential points in my team after weeks of suffering and red arrows. And it was just so fitting. What a weekend! So of course I'm here at the end of it.
Now you're paying for it a little bit, huh? It's like it's like a Faustian pact that you made, and you had your experience, and now you've been slammed for it for your good
Yeah, because
times.
then I had to go babysit my brother and my parents. Then, like, I saw my grandparents. I've been constantly on the move, as you say, and now the heaters ain't working. So, engineer coming tomorrow. Yeah, I might get a blanket halfway through the stream. But I guess let's go into the NetXG game week review then, and we'll kind of just get going.
Yeah, so you know, we can start. So everyone, you know, right now for the podcast listeners, this will be a little difficult, but you know, rest assured, it's actually quite difficult for even the people that are watching as well, because it's just a big kind of messy table. But this is kind of the best way that we saw to review the game week, or maybe not the best, but the easiest in such a short turnaround. We will start with the Arsenal Newcastle match. So Arsenal, they scored two goals. They were pretty. The percentage of predicted two goals was 23.54% versus 37% for one goal. And Newcastle, they scored zero goals, and they had a 31% chance of scoring zero goals versus a 38% chance of scoring one goal. Tell me, this is your team. Let's go. Why don't you tell us about this match? And just granted, we probably haven't watched all the matches. I'm not sure how many matches you've seen, Nima. So we're going to piece things together here. But this is a nice opportunity for the haulers to make fun of us with very little preparation here.
That is very true. But I do keep up with like the numbers on the day as they go. So from an FPL point of view, I reckon I know what's cracking there. But in terms of the eye test, I'll definitely be lacking this week. But the Arsenal game firsthand, obviously better than the camera angle. So that one I can cover for sure. No, it was a good game. What I will say is at 58 minutes, I was bricking it when Saka went down. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the clock for 2 minutes. I was praying he would carry on for those two extra points I needed. But for me, the first half was quite frustrating. I felt Arsenal were very pedestrian. So it was kind of the same old as this season where we were struggling to create chances. And I wasn't really seeing much. And Oba kind of missed like a shot from 1 yard out and hit the outside of the post somehow. So I don't even know how that's possible. And that was just dreadful. He's like four games without a goal now. As usual, Saka and Smith Rowe had to carry us. And what I noticed, and I don't know if it was possible to see it as well on TV, is in the second half, what changed was Saka started kind of drifting into the left wing to actually link up with Smith Rowe. So it got to the point where like they were the only two good players in the attack. And shout out to Nuno Tavares for playing like a left winger himself today as well. But yesterday, even whenever it was, the week has gone by so fast. I feel like I've lived a week in 2 days. Yeah, it's actually mad. But that was the change, I'd say. So Ramsdale was excellent, some great saves. Nuno Tavares, very impressive. I think he's going to fight Tierney, and it's not going to be so easy for him to just get his spot back. Mm. And it looks like he bounced back. Him and Sambi both started after the Anfield horror, obviously. So it's nice to see the kids still given the nod. And I wouldn't have been shocked if like Maitland now started or Tierney started, but Arteta stuck by them. And okay, they turned it around. So I'd say Arsenal is someone who I was actually going to sell White for like an Alonso this week to in game week 14. But now I'm actually looking to sell Livramento because his sell price for me is 4.3 million. The next four or five look horrendous. Like I wouldn't even want him off the bench as today showed. And I got him at 4 mil and he will start dropping because of his high ownership. So I feel like this is a perfect opportunity to keep White on my bench. And actually, he's great value because 4.4 million for like what is currently the fifth team in the Premier League versus like, you know, 4.3 million for someone who is getting spanked week in, week out right now. I think I know which one I would pick. So I've changed my tune. I'm willing to buy my kind of replacements at 0.1 million less. That's a fair trade. I think White is worth way more than 0.1 on Livramento. So I'd put my neck out there and say, I like White as like a fifth defender now. Mm-hmm. I actually think he's a great one because we have tough games with like United away, Everton away, but in between those, there's some great home games. So they're still kind of like Southampton coming up, Wolves coming up. There are some good matches there and we have a long break without Europe. So I actually still like the Arsenal boys. If you've got Smith Rowe, I think some people are looking to sell. I think based on Gallagher recently, so what I would say about Palace, just an eye test there. Since Milivojevic has played kind of a couple of times, like again, he's like not taking shot at all and it's not looking great. And Eze looks like back ready to go and Elise is there and, you know, even Edouard can't get in. So it's like, why would Gallagher be the one running ahead now in this team? So I think he's great in Sky and other formats where he gets bonus points for tackling and passing and all the wonderful stuff he does as a player. But I'd actually be going Smith Rowe right now over, I think, Cornet and over Gallagher. That's just, whereas last week it was between the three, right?
Right. And I mean, even the week before, Gallagher's been one of my favorite players this season. Mm-hmm. And the week before, I realized I was looking at the matchups a little bit and Gallagher seemed to have the most question marks. And I was looking at it and I'm glad you brought up Emil Smith Rowe because I wanted to talk to him a little about him a little bit. So I'm writing about him and the matchups are, it's like a mix of a matchup scouting report this week. It'll come up before game week 14. So look out for that. But I'm writing about Smith Rowe, and I've noticed that he started out the season, he plays the 10 quite a bit, right? But he's been playing more the left wing. And even when he was playing the 10, what was happening is, especially when Ødegaard, sorry, I'm thinking about Ray in my head when I'm pronouncing this name, Ødegaard. When Ødegaard plays behind him, he likes to push, and Ødegaard pushes up. It pushes Smith Rowe to the right. And I think Smith Rowe prefers to be on the left. And most of his returns have come from when he's played on the left. Even when he started at the 10, him shifting towards the left. And I have some heat maps I'll share with them I'll share them on Thursday. I think we're doing Thursday show, right?
Yeah, you and Marin have a 3 p.m. UK time. Yeah,
right. Marin and I will do a Thursday show, and I'll share some of the heat maps there. But I like Smith Rowe because, and we'll see the zonal matchups later, because the zonal matchups kind of, they work out in his favor. I think Arteta has found a solution for him, and I think his returns are, everybody says that he's overperforming his stats, right? Damari Gray was overperforming his stats early in the season when everybody was healthy. And the reason is because it's a tactical design. And I think there's a tactical design. Smith Rowe is interesting. It's an interesting comparison with Gallagher. He comes in and he supports the pressure kind of between two people, the space in between two people as they're pressuring. But he's also
Smith
like,
Rowe plays between the lines of the players. Yeah, you're right. Yes. Like he's somewhere where no one is. It's like a dead zone. Always gets the ball and never.
It's the half spaces. Smith Rowe really dominates those half spaces. But the thing is, he's very aggressive, right? So he attacks the ball like
drives
like
forward.
and I think he's. I still think Cornet is a better pick in general, but Smith Rowe.
He's playing out of position as well, though. So like today's lineup for Burnley before it got postponed, mm-hmm. he was in a front two. Yep. So it's like that is quite nice for 6 million roughly. Like it's not a bad shout.
He's been in the front two.
But I put
for,
both over
weeks,
Gallagher, I think. No, exactly. But I think he's continuing it. So like they've not changed system.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
like this week West Ham like dropped Bowen, and like I never saw that coming. So like sometimes teams just do these things. Like today Ronaldo was dropped, or like, you know, like this kind of stuff happens a lot, I find. Like Lacazette started playing randomly over Odegaard for a while. So I think you've got to be careful, some teams, how secure are they in their system? Are they like a Liverpool where it is pretty much that system, or Ole for like a year when he didn't try anything until that back three suddenly?
But also like to highlight how secure we are in our knowledge, right?
Yeah, because we think we know so much, and we don't know what they're practicing.
Exactly.
It's like Brentford, we didn't know until a few weeks ago that they actually practiced three different like tactical setups, and one of them, Mbeumo, is like a right back.
Yeah, he's a wing back.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, no, I think for me, I guess just to round off those two then. So, I think Palace, it was quite an unfortunate game for them, wasn't it, really? Like, but bearing in mind, kind of, we just talked about Gallagher, but in general, Edouard's not started back-to-back. Some people punted on Benteke because of the stats and recent performance. I think only him and King had the most big chances over like, the last 6 weeks or so. So, people were piling on them. And King, you know, he got that penalty that he was fabled to get. So, that is interesting as well, I think.
Yeah.
Dennis got the goal before potentially like he might have got a knock. So you can see that my kind of fragmented memory of each match is slowly coming back to me, but I'm not actually referencing any of the stats in some way. Like I'm just rambling about each match when I record.
So, yeah, I mean, and full disclosure, I didn't watch this match. But what I'm going to do is going to create a narrative that we're talking about the Palace Villa match. And I'm looking at Understat here, and Understat has this great timing chart. It's an XG timing chart of it shows kind of when XG happens in a match, and the timing chart makes this match look really boring for almost the whole thing, and then Palace scored at the end. But I think you know, we obviously we didn't get to see all the matches, so. Maybe we can pick out some specific matches. Do you want to talk about the Liverpool, the 4-0? Or like,
yeah, I think point? I guess because I guess people's question would be, is Jota a must-have now? Like, I think the way that Trent and Salah's captaincy ownership are, without that third Liverpool, you don't get any rank benefit from like the best team in the league, right? So you need someone, whether it's Jota or Robertson, Madison, who you want, mate. Like. If there was Firmino, some people would be shouting him. I've seen people talk about fringe players, and it's like kind of, you know, Origi and who else do we have? I've seen Ox. That's some weird shouts there. I'm telling you, like, I've seen weird shouts, man. Minamino. And then someone put a really good tweet on Twitter. They were like, why are we even talking about differentials from Liverpool while these three, Trent, Jota and Salah, are nailed on? And it was like, yeah, that's kind of true. And you saw Jota's ownership this week. It jumped up to like 60% EO from maybe like 15, 20% last game week. So already, like, I always say a player is only a differential for 2 weeks, you're right. And like, you know, he scored back-to-back. This is it. Like, we're done. We're fucked. Like, that's it. There's no more juicy points to come. Like, whoever's now buying him, like, they're not going to gain rank. Like, they're just saving their ass because he'll be near 100% EO, I reckon, within 1 to 2 game weeks, especially with stuff like Foden out and, like, people want to have us. People want to now sell Lukaku. So it's like, their son, if some people are angry at him, they might rage him out. So it's like, lots of people will be moving towards him as well. So
yeah,
it's dangerous if you don't have him now. But I feel like it's a shame that the game moves like this. It's all about the timing, right? Like when you get into the asset and if you can get in those 2 weeks before they kind of get bought by everyone.
I mean, there's an FPL maxim that comes to mind, and it's take, what is it, like the take the gifts FPL gives you. And Jota was a gift, and now he's the template. So he's a must. Otherwise, he's going to kill you, right? So like the gift only lasts for a certain period before the gift becomes the curse, right? And then the curse is the template, and everyone curses the template. It's like, God damn, the template is too entrenched. It's like, but that's why you had, like, Livermento is another one. Livermento was a gift at 4.0. But like you're saying now, if we sell, we don't have to, like, there's no point in collecting value just to have the value. Collect the value so you can spend the value. You want to spend it, right? You want to have a good time with that profit. And maybe the upgrade to
it was an early season fling. It doesn't need to last forever.
Who better to have a fling with than Alonso, right? If you can get Alonso for a while. Then,
but I guess talking about the Chelsea game fresh off the press then, I guess it was so strange to even see United score. It was just from like one mistake, didn't it? Like, they had any other chances in the whole game. It was such a one-sided affair. And I saw that Rudiger shot in the first half where he, like, off the post, and I was cursing. And right at the end, I didn't see it, but I heard he had another chance to kind of bury the game right at the end.
It was very much a defender's strike. I mean, the ball. So full disclosure, I missed much of this game. I missed about half of it, but I did see that play, and he just had to side foot it into the goal. Damn. and he swung his whole foot and he put his laces through it, and the thing just skyrocketed.
At least Chelsea dropped points. It was good. They needed some of that humbling as well,
I think.
I've been with some Chelsea fans recently, so FPL Jack and I think FPL Harry, formerly FPL Tips, and these drunk yobs, these young kids, they were walking around the streets at London Bridge singing their Chelsea chants and their Kai Havertz scored a Champions League goal songs, and I couldn't handle it. So it's nice to see them drop some points and suffer a bit, I think. There was Brighton fans booing as well. I asked Az about that, and lots of people jumped on him. And I was like, damn, is he going to unfollow me over this? Because his notifications are getting blasted with, like, why are they booing the Brighton players and Potter? And to be fair to him, he gave a valid reason of what he thought. It was more the performance and the fact that there was no finishing happening. But so I guess on that eye test as well, because I watched some of that, like, you know, Leeds have been bad this year. That's easy to say. It is worrying times for them. Like, could they genuinely be relegated if people at Bamford aren't back and don't change the form of the team? But for me, the fact that Brighton kind of are eighth in the table, they were actually above United, I think, before this match. So it's kind of like, that's a great place to be in. And it's just a shame they didn't buy like a striker and they stuck with Morpé, because his numbers, his stats will say it all, right? Like, I think he missed a shot that was XG1 as well.
I mean, yeah, invest in imagine Brighton with Patson Daka. They'd be scary. They'd be a threat, right? I mean, and I think I don't know. It's a little bit of people like to speak quite with glowingly about Graham Potter, and with good reason, right? But how many years has it been? How many seasons where this team has not had a striker?
Yeah, so you got a question though, like, why aren't they buying it? Is it because he has no power? Is it because he's not wanted one? Like, what's going on? Like, I know they've got injuries, but to bring on Lacadia, like, probably the only striker, as I said, was worse than Morpé in the Premier League.
They bought Welbeck. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe Potter doesn't know how to evaluate strikers. Maybe he's a poor about. Maybe he thinks he has strikers. I don't know. That's impossible.
For I think if I was a Brighton fan, like seeing your team play like attractive football in the top flight, that doesn't go for granted. There's lots of top teams, big teams that have come before them and fallen out of the Prem. So I wouldn't like be booing a manager like that. Because in his post-match interview, like he was saying stuff like, maybe I need a history lesson. Like, you know, we're eighth in the Premier League. Like, well, you know, these guys need to understand the game, what happened, how it went. Like, what context did it? Like, they're just booing. He was a bit offended, it sounded like. And for me, like, you could scare off a manager like that because there'll be top teams circling for him all over right now. And you lose him. And I don't know if Brighton's guaranteed to then attract that clinical striker they need and then continue to build on his system. The new manager will have a new system and might not go as well, right? So I wouldn't just think that, like, oh, we're guaranteed to be fighting for Europe. It's like Villa fans in the summer. They had a humbling too because they were acting like they were a European-level club for a while and they thought that they could go and, like, make that bid for Smith Rowe for, like, 20 mil. And then they kept coming back. That's and, silly. Like, and him and Martinez were going on about it. And then when I was in the Emirates and I heard them singing, Emi Martinez, you're just a shit Aaron Ramsdale and stuff, like, it was beautiful. And like this week, the new chant I heard, which is another beautiful chant, was they were singing to the Newcastle fans. And I was right above the away fans in the corner flag. And they were singing, you're rich, but you're shit. And then like towards the end, the like Newcastle fans were singing, we're rich and we're shit. And like, and it was just like, it was such good banter. And I'm like, oh man, this is so fucking funny. Oh no, it was a good time. So it's nice to see that the library's been popping recently this season. Go to United next. That'll be interesting. I just want to say one thing, Gabe. I think I wanted to talk to the guys in the live chat. Obviously, there's less content this week, so we might as well just chat through with what you guys are saying and we'll incorporate it into the convo. So let's talk about what happens when Firmino returns about Jota. So I think with this, like, it sounds like it would have been mid-December was the original kind of prognosis. And you know, mid-December now, like that's still maybe six game weeks. That is, there's a lot of game weeks to come. There's so I would just be going for Jota right now, perfectly honestly. And I don't think he'll have to play in the Champions League, right? So hopefully he's rested there. Although we know last game he didn't even come on as a sub. So I'm very happy with his minutes. I'm assured that he starts these three in these 7 days. Like, because why else would he have not come on in the Champions League 1 minute?
There are five game weeks between now and December 18th. So maybe if we're talking about mid-December, I mean, that might be the
soonest sub-appearance for Firmino, if he
comes back then, Right. He might come a few days sooner and make a... Who knows? But that, you know, five game weeks of the nailed of Jota in the best attack in the league.
Yeah. Yes. I think I'd be going for him all day. So just to... So he was talking about Tavares, So the one thing I will say is I'd be so frustrated at Partey and the way he's been doing pot shots all this time, but Tavares took it to a new level. Like, he just kept randomly shooting from... This is what I mean. He was so pedestrian in the first half. And then even Tomiyasu took a shot from outside the box. I was watching this. I'm like, what are they doing? Like, our best chance at the time had been the kind of free kick from Odegaard. And that was about it. So I was like, these guys are just... They're dreadful. They can't get in behind these 12 men. So what I mean by that, though, is that he's obviously 20 and he's come in. And even after... Because it was his fault, like, the goal at Liverpool. And then you could see he suffered mentally from it. And just capitulated from there. Just Sambi was bad too, but he wasn't the one who like capitulated the way Tavares did. I was surprised, if I'm honest, to see him start over Tierney this game, because this would have been a great game to get Tierney back into it and get going and get him ready for United. So the manager's faith in him, that is interesting. So I think at 4.5 or whatever he is, if someone didn't have like a Ben White already and they did want to go that way, like, I would keep an eye on that, because I don't think it's like Tierney, I think, is the better player. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's the much better defensive player as well. But Tavares, like, when you watch him live and it's not with the camera, like, just the runs he does, he's basically like literally playing like in the box or as a winger. Like, he's just always ready to run, but he needs to stop shooting. That's what I'll say for him. So
I wonder if that was instruction from Arteta, because both Tavares and Tomiyasu were taking shots from pretty far out.
Yeah, but Tomiyasu, like, was at least, you could see he was staying in like a back three. So yeah, like, he was still like, it looked like we were almost playing with three defenders in kind of possession. Like, that's what I mean about Tavares. He was just kind of up there, similar to how you might see Lamptey on the heat maps. I think someone was doing this, they were shouting him out, and you know, he looked great.
The one thing I will say is Partey's passes, his passing was not good that game.
Oh no, he was sloppy this game. He did not show like anything going that, like, I saw a few kind of balls that just went straight to the opposition passes as well.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
What I found interesting was I kind of had heard that apparently Arsenal had, you know, given a foul in the box and Newcastle were owed a penalty that didn't get given. But afterwards, you know, Howe was complaining about it too. I saw it. And even Jermaine Jenas, who I would have thought, like, you know, he's super like against Arsenal. He's such an anti-Arsenal commentator. He was like, it's not a penalty either. And even he was also like, oh, the one on Arsenal should have been a penalty because I saw it. And this guy just elbow checked Martinelli straight in the head and basically knocked him unconscious on the floor. At the time, I thought he hit his knee, like that was bad enough. But when I saw this, I was like, this is like broad daylight assault. Like, if you did this in the street to someone, you'd be getting a GBH and shit or ABH and like on your criminal record when you go to for jobs and shit. And these guys just do it to Arsenal players and always get away with it. Like, I don't even see cars come out for this kind of stunt. So that does piss me off a bit, I'm not going to lie. So Ignatius, he says about Villa, are they now not the team target? So I think for me, I'd always earmark game week 17 as a week for someone like Watkins or keeping an eye on like cash and stuff. Obviously, they've got a new manager. I was like, you know, Watkins, he's been playing as this lone striker again, which he was great as last year. And I did always wonder why they bought Danny Ings. Like, obviously, he will play and Watkins won't always play as the sole striker. But there's something about which one of them do I get? And they are in my thoughts for around game week 17, just as Calvert-Lewin is for around game week 19. So I think we've got a lot of expensive back lines. And I do wonder with the return of a lot of these defenders and Bamford as well, for instance, and now Lukaku. So like people want Ronaldo potentially for the United. So it's like, are we suddenly going to see money shifting? And, you know, so it will be interesting in that context. Like if you didn't have double Chelsea now, like would you move to them or, you know, who would you want for this period if you only had one? And is Alonso worth it and stuff like that? But just before we talk about Chelsea, what do you think about Villa then about not being the team to target from Ignatius?
So Villa now team not to target. I mean, I think Villa are still a wait and see. I think they're cash, Matty Cash could be interesting. Target could be interesting at some point if Stevie G's wingbacks, you know, get going. I agree with you. I don't understand why they bought Danny Ings. I know Villa fans are generally happy with that purchase and I guess to them it makes sense. To me, the team, the purchases they made really didn't make sense as a whole, but they could start figuring that out. And I think Watkins could be interesting, like you said, when the fixtures turn.
I think I'm surprised Spurs didn't buy Danny Ings as like a backup to Kane or something, because the fact that he had to play in that Europa Conference and then had to play the whole game because of the red card, like how is there any backup to him, Scarlett? I just don't understand that. Like, just it doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, you can't really get a player like Danny Ings as a full backup. It's a tough situation, right? Because you need somebody.
He would for the money, though. You say that, but I think he would take like a huge paycheck. But maybe Levi is one of the only big six that like.
I think he knows this is his last hurrah in terms of playing and maybe pushing for a spot or a chance at some point on the England team or something like that. I don't know. I think he wanted to. You know, make one last push and not just sit there.
I don't think we'll see him with the England team, though. I think
no, but this was you know, maybe over the summer, right?
Of course. So just quickly, there was a question here that I saw that we missed. So before we see, so Ram and Nathan, yeah, it was definitely Park the Bus FC versus Chelsea. I think that's a fact. So Ignatius doesn't have money for Jota. Do we sell Antonio? I think if you held Antonio now, like the time to sell was 6 weeks ago and the time to sell as a last time to sell, I think, was probably this game week against City. So, yeah, at this point, the Brighton game looks all right. The Brentford game looks all right. There's some decent games there, I think. So I would hold on at this stage. I would find another way to Jota, maybe cheapening that back line, as I was saying. Alan just says we need to do a show about 3-4 differentials per 3-4 matches. So I guess we have done a few of them, right? So you were saying kind of Corneille was calling out a couple of weeks ago. It's a shame we didn't get to see him this weekend so we could then see whether he continued that run. The problem is someone like Alonso be calling a differential, you know, like again already he was like 20 something percent and it's only going to be more now because I have a feeling James could be benched against Watford. So like he's one of the most transferred in James this week, but I do have a genuine worry that this is the one game he does miss. Play Champions League as well. So it's like he's going to play four games in like 11 days. I don't know. Like it seems a bit much.
I think that's a good shout. It makes sense for him to miss this next match. For Azpilicueta to get some time or something like that, but
what about differentials this week as well? So would you still count Alonso differential? Because on live FPL, under 25% EO is a differential in your team. So this week he would have been a differential, but depending on how many transfers he gets and whether people prioritize him or James, he might be 35, 40%. He might jump like Jota just straight to 60%.
Yeah, I don't expect him to be a differential this coming week.
Exactly. No, you might get 50% if you're lucky. Like the points return of like Jota this week for me was 50%, but in the top 10K, he was already like 70% or something in the first week. So that's scary. Like, what do you think then? So we got the kind of Spurs boys. Would you consider selling any of them for a differential? Is there a differential on your mind, like a Sancho maybe? So we're talking about true differentials. Someone like a Sancho, it worries me, 8.9 mil, maybe plays 60 to 70 minutes. But if he was the preferred player and he played most of the time in the new system, that could be quite an exciting shout for someone who doesn't want to fund a Bruno or a Ronaldo, don't you think?
How many games before you know that, though?
That's the thing. So we have at least till game week 16 when we want them. So yeah. I think we have two games to see, one against Arsenal, and the manager will be in charge there. And I can't remember what the game after that is, but it's not necessarily good enough to want to escalate getting the United player in before game week 16, I don't think. Not when Spurs, like Kane or Son, who people have, they have, is it Norwich that week? Like that's the potential captaincy week we talk about.
Yeah,
Captain Salah.
I think Rashford is an interesting shout as a differential from
prefer United. Him for nailedness.
Nailedness. He's been rested most of the season, right? He's been resting most of the season, so he's just coming in. He looked, he looked rusty from what I saw. Again, I only saw about half of that match as well, but he also looked motivated, right? He was. I think Rangnick is going to like his work rate, so I think Rashford is interesting. I don't remember what price he is at the moment.
I like Rashford, and Bernardo is your other, I guess, differential, you would say, right? So that's someone who I've got my eye on. Like, I wanted Foden for this spell. I don't know if I can get back to him without selling Tony, which now seems a bit daft. Like he could maybe be a season keeper, Tony, at this point. I don't know. I've had him since game week one, so I'm not in a rush to sell pre wild card. Not while his EO would damage me and I don't see a suitable replacement. King has two bad fixtures. Maybe 3 weeks from now, I would consider Tony to King as a move. Like that could happen, but no rush there. Antonio I've kept, so I can't sell him. And Kane, I've got to wait it out. So my forward line, I don't feel like I can even change. And then that is kind of Saka and Rafinha as possible sells, or White and Livramento. So I've got two free transfers and I only want to make one move again. So this will be the third week in a row where I could just do one move and roll the second free transfer and just... When am I going to use a wild card if I keep living like this?
That's the thing. At some point, you have to make a decision. Like they call me Sleepy Joe. You take your punt, make your punt, like do your things,
Right? So like my Saka, White, so Tony, they all eventually got me the points and brought me back to 10K. So like it was game week 6 when I was at 1K, and I've not been near it for like months, right? And when I finally come back, it's with like the same kind of jolly bunch of rascals in my team, as you say. They've gone nowhere. Like my original punt eventually worked out. I gave it a long enough sample size that like when I was watching Smith Rowe pop and James get 4 goals from 5 shots, I'm like, why is that? Everyone else is rushing to get them. I get it. The EO is dangerous, but like I've missed these points. I was like, I need to get the points I missed from my players that underperform. Like surely they're fucking due. And I've seen people sell loads of players that pop, so it is tough.
Vardy's
he broke me.
You were on the wrong side of that one.
But luckily, it didn't hurt my rank too bad, right? So that was a fortunate moment. I was lucky. So just even into FPL Penguin, who's tuned in as well, and Javid, he's here as well. So Ozzy Sharks was asking about, is a bench of Livramento, Mbeumo, Broha good enough this week? I have James and Alonso. I think personally, only James could be benched, so... I don't mind Livramento against Leicester. I think it is off the bench, or even a Mbeumo. I think that's pretty good. Depends if who else he has, right? Like, there might be some other weird rotation risks there. Like someone like a Cancelo randomly gets benched. We say he will when he never does, but
even so, the bench is fine. Like those players will play. Yeah,
they will. So let me just quickly put our faces so it doesn't cover you, this question. So FPL Peng was asking about Madison and Ashley Young. So back to the differentials over the next 3 to 4 weeks. 4.7 million defender for Young, but he's actually playing as a winger for Gerrard so far. 2 assists as well under Gerrard. I think that's a great shout, Penguin. That is actually pretty nice. Will he be as well as Neco Williams in your team? So I think Neco Williams, you had, who we saw. Did he get his points this week off the bench somehow? So what are your thoughts on younger Madison? And I don't think I'd be going near Madison, but what about Young? Young seems interesting in that game week 17 swing maybe again.
Well, I mean, I owe a shout out to Absurdologist who called Madison's returns this week. He sent me a private message and he's like, and he was high on Madison, and sure enough, Madison came in and delivered for him like right away, right at the beginning of the game.
That.
So that's a crazy left field shout that I really appreciated. So Ashley Young is he's 36 years old, heading into the fixture crunch, playing as a winger. Like he's his leg's gonna fall off. He's gonna break that kid or that kid. It's a kid to me because I'm old, I guess. So it would not be for me. I'm also not really interested in Villa's defense, given all of the other kind of more solid options back there. I think the Arsenal guys are better options as well. I would have my eye on them on the wingbacks for Villa.
So I think that's why I was saying Cash. Yeah, Cash was someone who I liked the look of, but I'm not convinced on Young. I don't know.
I'd prefer Cash probably just because of durability. I mean that guy's he has a motor.
The out of position shout though, winger defender is incredible, and if you can handle the benching, it depends whether we think he subs on or not. But I guess at that price, if he's like one of my bench options as well.
When do you play him?
In the good games. So then maybe you just got to hope that those rotations align with the good fixtures or something.
That's a lot of... We're getting Inception level here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to make a case for it.
I think it's an interesting shout, actually. Out of position, always an interesting shout, and already returning under the new manager. I just think it's too risky heading into the fixture crunch period.
Yeah, I think so. So Ramon FC is with a Lascelles tackle, and I think Amund asks about the Penn situation, Hamilton. Yeah, so I think there was those ones that got viewed on TV, as you say, but there was one where I saw, I think it was Wilson actually running into the box, and I couldn't tell if it was Gabriel or why it was someone that were like behind him and the ball, and he was getting closer and closer. I was like, shit, this looks dangerous. And the next thing I know, like he's on the floor, he's kind of maybe had a light touch, like as they're running next to each other, like shoulders have touched. I just see him fall. And I was genuinely worried. I was like, could they give a pen here? Like, I know what they do to us a lot of times. So I think there was a few cases both ways. But I know that obviously poor Howe, he felt very aggrieved about the whole scenario.
Howe always feels aggrieved, doesn't he?
Said like all the 50-50s were, you know, in their favor. And he seemed very bitter about it. Sam was talking about how lethargic Alonso looked. I think he did look like the weakest man in that team, bar the Joaquinho moment, but...
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't know who else would play there, though. And I don't know that he's necessarily a risk. And he can look lethargic for 89 minutes and 1 minute come up with
the
world.
And he was on all the corners that I saw anyway, so I don't mind a bit of action like that. Ignatius says about the bench, as long as there's no bad weather, it might be good enough for OC Sharks. clean sheet point. So he's talking about the Chelsea team, as we were saying. I think my comment earlier that actually the double up does look worrying. I think Chelsea's defensive EO is like 130%. So if you've only got one defender, unless the one you've got gets bonus or an attack in return over the others, you don't actually really gain from it. So I think if I had the double up and I wanted to move away quickly, this could be an interesting shout, as you say, if you predict that they're not going to concede, but they've only conceded 5 goals this season. So for me, it's still a bit worrying when actually having two of them means you still get like 70% for every clean sheet, whereas a single owner is getting damaged 30% for every clean sheet.
Mm.
So I wouldn't be jumping ship yet, I don't think. This was a tough game regardless. We thought maybe United would score.
Yeah, Rubber Ducky on Twitter, he's famous for not liking the double up, and he tweeted something to that respect. And I mean, when you have the double up, you fly. When you don't have the double up, you stay put at best, right?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when the double up fails, then you have to just rely on your other players and realize that it wasn't one of those weeks where you'll fly thanks to your defense. You know, you fly elsewhere. Like I have the double up in City.
That last minute must have been a kick in the teeth.
Thankfully, I was playing myself at the time. I didn't see the second half of that match. So, but I came and I saw, and I looked at my phone and I saw it with the 94th minute or something like that. And my reaction was just a shrug. You know, how many times do we get those points in, right? Almost like so many times. Their underlying stats are great. Their defensive double up for City is great. So,
yeah, is that Alonso Corner's woeful? Yeah, it is. But yeah. I think stuff like corners, they count as crosses, and I think they rack up bonus points. So, like, I'm all about just watching what some players do to meaningless situations that might get you bonus points. So
I think Alonso was on one bonus point with like 17 baseline bonus, something really low. Something that's really bad. That's how bad that game was.
He was so bad. So Reece could get benched for Watford. Better have a good bench. Yeah. So Absurdo, I know what he meant, but I guess that's what I mean. Like, I'm now considering them as an option. So the fact that I'm even considering them as a four, I was always thinking they can't be this bad for this long. Like, they were in bad shape. I think I wouldn't be targeting them, but if I had players that could start against them, I would happily play them that week. Like, I wouldn't be benching like a Brentford player against Villa. So going on to kind of a few more questions, because I feel like we're going to catch up on the live chat and then we can go back to the slides as well. So they've just kind of, hi, Soothsayer. We have Spurs should be dipping into their under 23s from Premier League 2, like Leeds, and try others. They should try Parrot. They've not even played him. So we've been asked about Madison as well. So Amon seconds that thought. Any thoughts on Madison being a good punt in the short term before we go? I think I would prefer going for someone like, a United player personally in the near future. I don't know about a Leicester. I would want Vardy from Leicester. It just feels like a bit of a kind of weird move for me personally. And I wouldn't double up either, so.
Yeah, I mean, again, shout out to Absurdologist for calling Madison for this week. But it wouldn't be a transfer for me either, you know, with Jota. I prefer Jota. I prefer Smith Rowe, for example. I prefer much prefer Cornet out of those as well. So
you got Hudson-Odoi might be a nice risk for 5.2. I just feel like it is too much for me. I don't know. It's an interesting shot, but I feel like it takes up a spot that I could be better using, because that's a weird price point for me. Is that the price point that I would want to be benching, but not cheap enough to be like my fifth mid either? So, like, I don't know. Like, for me, that would be my fourth mid, and I'd play them every week. That's the way I would approach my kind of structure of my team. Like, you know, I normally go for 3-4-3s, and I don't even really have a back four often, even though it's kind of meant to be bigger the back season. So, I was saying Mount, Werner, Pudicic fit. Cho is good. Yeah, he's a risk. Everyone's back. Werner's back. Lukaku's back. Sell Rafinha for Gallagher. I think I wouldn't be doing that. I'd give Rafinha the next two games. I could sell him for someone else. Like, I'd sell him for a City mid, which we'll talk about. But, like, I wouldn't be going for Gallagher now at this point in FPL format, because I think with Eze back and when Milivojevic plays, like, he doesn't even get a single shot. So for me, that's not great. So saying, what was it? If he would avoid Young. So Absoro just says maybe if he was 4.3. Okay, so I think we've caught up. So let's just get the slides back up now. And we will quickly go through these kind of any final matches you think here that we've missed. No, otherwise, we can go through to the...
I think we've talked around them all the main ones. You know, the important thing is obviously in this graphic, look at the percentages, look at what the highest percentages are. Even look at, you know, for example, Chelsea, they only scored one goal. They had the highest, that was the highest percentage at 32.34. But two goals was at 28% compared to zero goals at 17%. So just, you know, when you're looking at this graphic, just make those comparisons. But I think if we can get into the FDRs, I think.
Sounds good. Someone made a very good comment for where they just said, what's the crack with Mbeumo from Steve? He says he didn't hit the post today. He's getting worse. So I think that was a little brilliant message there. So onto the beautiful face of the lovely hero of my game week, Diego Jota, who I brought in for Foden. I was very worried about Foden playing, but it's fitting that Liverpool, who are first in the FDR for the attack, this kind of game week 14 coming up, they have a 3.6 out of 7, and Chelsea's kind of just behind them on 3.5. But there's a huge drop after that. And actually, Newcastle's matchup this week, they're, you know, 1.2 only. So that's like a 2.3 drop compared to Liverpool and Chelsea. But they're still third. And the rest of the kind of lineups don't look great for attack this week, do they? Even Spurs, who are meant to be one of the better fixtures, 0.5, they're in seventh. It's not looking great. West Ham and Antonio, who I have, minus 0.1 in 11th. The attacking FDR for Game Week 14 looks pretty disgusting if you then mix in rotation. It's a low scoring week ahead. Like, this worries me.
It really does. So when we're planning our transfers, you know, I have the dilemma. Do I move Livermento out for Alonso, or do I move Adama Traore finally out of my team for one of the City mids, right? Looking at this FDR, this attacking FDR, I guess favors the defense. That's
I can have a look at the defense. I'll just read out the bottom of the attack as well for the kind of podcast, since you missed it. So the top five in attack were Liverpool, Chelsea, Newcastle, Wolves, United. City just sneaks into the bottom. And then the worst teams for attacking matchups this week are Watford, Villa, Arsenal, Brighton, Burnley, Norwich. So it's not looking good. Defense, as you say, maybe this is the one to be targeting more.
Well, if we go back to attack really quickly, let's just take a look. So Liverpool, obviously, they are first, right? Because they go to Everton this game week, and we know how Everton are struggling. Doucouré is back, so we'll see if they get healthier as well. So it's kind of obvious why that one is. And then so Chelsea plays Watford. They visit Watford this weekend. Watford, they've been getting into the kind of blowouts, huh? These like just high scoring matches recently. It reminds me of when Ranieri, right? When he was at Leicester and they couldn't keep a clean sheet. Remember that the first like 3 months incredible. of the title winning season, they couldn't keep a clean sheet and they were winning these 5-2 games and stuff. And then Ranieri took them out for pizza. They all made pizza. And then they won like every game for the next 4 months, like 1-0, something like that. They went on a crazy like 12 match clean sheet streak. Look how high Newcastle and Wolves are. Newcastle in third, but obviously it is quite a drop off. Let's see, Newcastle, obviously they face Norwich. And
they haven't got a win yet, right? So I think they're the only team in the Prem. So this is a must-win game.
Mm-hmm. And then Wolves host Burnley, which is an interesting one. I think Norwich's defense is not as easy. Like, they're better than they were.
Before that big game where they got slapped recently, I think, was it Chelsea? Apart from that, they'd only conceded like 4 goals in 7 matches or something.
That was before Dean Smith too, right?
Yeah.
So maybe Dean Smith is changing things around there.
That is a very good point. And I've seen people like Gilmore making starts. So if I could win a wild card, I think a Gilmore over a Brownhill for me all day.
the yellow looks nice in the team there.
I like the bench. Some seasons I try to pick a goalkeeper with a pink shirt as my like second 4 million keeper if there is one, just because bright and ominous when people come visit my page.
Ominous pink.
Sexy pink, I think they call it. But anything on the attack or good to go?
No,
to
I think we can move into the defense.
Nice. So yeah, Chelsea's top here again, obviously. It's interesting to see Liverpool's matchup this week is very low. I guess the Merseyside derby, there have been some dodgy nil-nils and kind of stalemates and draws, but I think at this point in time, the form Liverpool's in, the form Everton's in, we can't see anything but another slap-up, like another Southampton on the cards. So I think that's dangerous times. But so Chelsea's top with 2.5. They've got Man City defence 1.9, Man United 1.7, West Ham 1.2. Wolves and Newcastle also there in the top. In the bottom, you've got obviously Everton is last. And that makes sense because, as you said, Liverpool's top for the attacking FDR for Game Week 14. So for anyone who's new, these are the, I guess, opposite of the attacking FDRs. Yeah. Whoever was top there, their defence of their opponent will be bottom here. So hence Watford, Norwich, Burnley, Arsenal make up the rest of the bottom. So what are your thoughts here? Rudiger's in the picture. Obviously, we talked about earlier his chances to get goals today and how upset I was. And if you were me, and you only had one Chelsea defender, like a Rudiger, would you at this point consider, like, where I've got two free transfers, my team looks all right. So should I be ripping it up to bring in someone like a Livermento or White, turning them into Alonso, and then having to bench, say, Tony this week or Saka? Or would you actually instead just move Rudiger to one of those wingbacks? And if I could move to James, I would. But my fear is he obviously gets benched. So then my next option is Alonso. And I don't know if I'd sell Rudiger for Alonso. Like, I double up with Rudiger and Alonso, but I don't know if I'd sell him. So, and I'm nervous James won't play. So I'm a bit like, so I don't really want to go for James this week. So what do I do? Like, do I just hold? Do I wait? Like, do I keep Rudiger and send him for James the week I think he's not going to be benched? Like, how would you approach that? Because James is my most dangerous rank as well. He's like 70% EO this week. He was the player who could hurt me the most. And he worries me.
If you move for James, right, and he doesn't play this week, is it a big deal?
But if I have Rudiger and he pops this week, then I'm like, why didn't I sell him the week after? Because he's taking the shots I want to see. He's making
No, but you wouldn't sell. You'd sell Livermento, right?
I wouldn't. That's what I mean. So I'd be it would be Rudiger who'd be going if I want James.
No, I mean, at this
and
point,
I got him at 5.5 and he's like 6 mil now.
I think you keep Rudiger if you want to bring in a second Chelsea defender. I think you sell Livermento.
But it's more that I want a fullback. So I think I'd do Alonso for Livramento. That's probably the main move I'll make. Yeah. But at the same time, it would be Alonso if it's for Livramento, and it would be James for Rudiger, because part of me thinks I only want one Chelsea defender. And if there is one, I actually want James, but I want to get him after this, and I want to give Rudiger that last game, I think. But it is where it's a dodgy move, because I don't know. Like, at the moment, 2 free transfers. My plan originally was to try and even get Foden back, but he wasn't even in the squad. So that's odd.
Nice.
Bernardo, I kind of was thinking about. Gundogan, I was thinking about. So it's like, what do? I need to free up money. I'd have to sell Tony, which I now don't know if I want to sell. I'd have to sell Saka, and I'd have to sell Livermento. That's like a -4 mini wild card.
I think you need a path to your wild card. I think you need to cut the game weeks in like a segment or a couple segments and find kind of upside transfers to crash court like a crash,
but then that forces the wild card, right? So then that means I have to wild card at that point.
Well, you're gonna have to at some point. I mean, you don't have to, but that's the fun thing about the wild card. You're gonna play the game and not wild card.
Well, I heard that if you burn the wild card, you gain rank. It's like some kind of like FPL glitch, like you suddenly become OR1.
I'm willing to test it out. I mean, That's like having a birthday cake, right? And like letting the candles just go down and like get all waxy inside the cake, and you don't eat the cake. And like, no, I heard if you do this, all your wishes come true.
But I've seen people wild card, right? So like FPL Harry Tips, he spoke about his wild card for 3 weeks, and then we all were at the meetup, and I asked him like halfway through, so did your non-wild card team, did it get like more points this week? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah, don't you know the rule? The week you wildcard is a red arrow. And I was like, okay, yeah. So that scared me off a bit, I'm not going to lie. The guy spoke about it for 3 weeks all over Twitter. Everyone knew he was on wildcard.
This is all folklore, man. It's all... this is just lore.
People who are tuning in for the first time, they can't obviously see our ranks like some streamers. They will probably think like, fucking hell, this guy must be top 6 million and just throw me out like my friend JJ, differential king. Yeah. It's madness. But in terms of defense, some people have asked about Ignatius, about Spurs defense. Like, did they look good at all? Because he's considering starting Tony. And obviously, here Spurs shows up in the defensive FDR. Are they at 8th? Yeah, 8th. What do you think?
They haven't looked good to me at all. They just don't have the players. They don't have the central midfielders to do it. They don't have the center backs. I don't think they're good defensively at all. So I think they're actually a team to target.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
Cornet was the alchemist, right, against Spurs this week.
That he would pop, and then you could today be talking about him.
I know. I almost didn't make the stream.
That's a shame. Yeah, you're like, damn, bastards. Yeah, they're saying Spurs was scruffy against Leeds C team. So better start, Sophie.
I love that.
People are telling me, did you bench Tony this game? Oh, yeah. So no, I didn't. I started Tony. So I was in a dilemma. I was going to sell Tony for Davis, do that Rafinha to Jota. Then I was going to do Antonio to King and then do Rafinha to Jota. In the end, I just did Foden to Jota, roll the transfer. So I have two again now. And I'm at that situation where, like, I could sell Tony again this time. So I could do Tony to Davis this time. And then I could actually use that money to get myself like a Bernardo or Gundogan for Saka and keep Rafinha and have Jota and all of this. And that's why I'm like, I could do that as a double move, but then I could nip it in the bud. And with the money freed up to get to Davis, I could go straight from Livramento to Alonso. So I have Alonso and Rudiger finally have me a hand of that double Chelsea defense of that 130% defensive EO. And just punt on Alonso for now. He could be my punt, as you say, crashing into the wild card. I've got Alonso, I've got Jota. They're my kind of punts. I have a weaker bench, but at this point, because I kept White, my bench would actually be like White, Livramento, and Davis. But I'm happy with two.
That's fine.
I'm happy with White and Brownhill. That's okay for me. I can live with that. Davis doesn't need to ever come on. Like, I've not even used more than one or two subs this season yet.
Yeah, that's going to change. I think
I know.
I used two this week,
but that's when the crash comes at me. So when that crash happens, then I'll wild card. So this is how I crash into the wild card.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was fortunate. I'm glad I kept Tony and played him, and I'm glad I played White. I thought I was really smart playing White over Antonio. And then when Antonio was going to sub in for Kane, all my wishes changed. Suddenly I wanted that Antonio goal, and the kick in the teeth to lose Cancelo's clean sheet, but not even to an Antonio goal. I won the goal from Lanzini instead. How painful. Oh, wow. They're saying Tony had an XG of 0 without the pen. Yeah, that is true. But I think for me, like, he's like someone I would happily first bench. So that's why originally I thought it might be interesting to keep him instead of selling to Davis this week, because I'd play him against Everton. That was the game I had earmarked as like a nice game for him. And then I can kind of use him when I need, but I can bench him other weeks too. So if we're talking about you need a bench in this crunch time, Tony does seem okay. I think I'd rather have Tony than Mwemo personally. Woodworkio or whatever we call him, seven times. Oh, I love what Observer Jonathan said as well, which is never use XG for a single player in a single game week as an indicator of anything. Yeah, so I talk about these 12, 13 weeks have been a small sample size. This one game week will be even less so, I guess. But I think Tony to King 2 weeks from now could be a nice move for me when King's fixtures turn. Dennis is an interesting shout, but their price is so similar now. And with the idea that King might stay on penalties after those double misses from Saar, I'm pretty excited by Tony to King. I think that's a nice way to free up some funds. It's about a million, actually, I could free up from that. So, you know, if that can get you from a Livramento to an Alonso, going from bloody Tony to King, like, why wouldn't I do it, right? Like, fuck Tony. Fuck Brentford too. I take those points and run. That's what I mean. You don't always get last week's points. It's a frustrating point. Let's go. Should we go through the FDRs then? And
yeah,
we'll go from here. So we've got the average. I'm not going to read this out because I feel like we've spoken about it. But just for podcast listeners, Chelsea is now top, whereas Liverpool was top of attack and quite far down in defence. I think seventh because of the Merseyside derby. Chelsea, with the two high FDRs in both attack and defence, have made it to the top with a free this week. So they're actually probably the best team to target this week. So maybe I should be getting an Alonso this week. Liverpool are 1.8, so they're a bit of a considerable drop in their matchup at second. So overall, they're still going to be one of the best teams. And Man City is first. So those are the players we're targeting, right? The City mids, the Chelsea defense, and the Liverpool attack. And everyone else below that in the FDR is, which one are you selling? Now, it's funny. We talk about Watford. That's why I wait on King and Dennis. Look at them. They're minus three and 20th. Like, I'm not getting King now. Like, I would have got him this week against Leicester. But at this point, you keep Tony and you wait, in my opinion.
Unless you're getting King as a kind of a long-term enabler.
If you need him now to get the funds to like an Alonso or Jota now, then go for it. Like, because if you're going to bench Tony this week anyway, then who cares how bad Spurs defense is? Just sell Tony and rip off that plaster, because Alonso was price locked before this game week. It won't stay like that if he gets a return midweek, man, and you didn't buy him this week. Like, oh, they're saying Leeds over Palace Dam. So I think that's just more for this week's matchup. And I like Rafinha for this game. Yeah. So,
yeah, just this week.
So if you want to look at the zonal matchups.
So here, zonal matchups, game week 14 and beyond. So game week 14, some of the highlights are, let's see here. We have Brentford's left-hand side against Spurs. Yeah, it's interesting. Spurs, they started out the season conceding more from the left. Now they concede more from the right. So Brentford's left, that speaks to Tony. Tony plays like in that he's the tip of the spear, but he's on the left side, whereas Mbeumo is on the right side. So I think Brentford's left is interesting, and we'll get talk more about that soon, shortly here. Brighton away to West Ham. They have 4.0 FDR from the right side versus 3.0 from the left and 2.2 down the center. So if we're looking at Brighton's right-hand side, that's why we're looking at Tariq Lamptey up here, who's looked good. I'd love to get Tariq Lamptey.
I've written him in my notepad now as like the first name next to James.
He's a fun get, but you can't get Lamptey going into the fixture crunch, can you? Like, there's no way. That's wrong, asking for trouble. Yeah,
it is definitely asking for trouble.
I think so.
I like him though, but I've got Sanchez. So for me, like as a non-Ramsdale owner, I could see the appeal, but I don't even want to double up on that Brighton defense either. So it's like a definite no-go for me.
Yeah. If I roll, I don't know. I like him. Not for the fixture crunch, for sure. Let's see. We have Crystal Palace's central matchup against Leeds is at 3.8 compared to 3.3 from the left and 2.8 from the right. I mean, usually it's Mariner bringing up Benteke, but are we going to bring up Benteke for the third show in a row? We're going to talk about Christian Benteke.
I'm not going near him personally. All right,
let's not talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know. No one needs to hear about Benteke this week. He's not a key target for anyone.
Manchester United, left-hand side, 3.8 compared to 3.2 from the center and 2.9 from the right is interesting against Liverpool. Wait, but is Man United Liverpool?
No, Arsenal, Arsenal.
That's wrong then, right? Are these matchups all wrong?
So they might be. The zonals are probably wrong. I think he maybe only gave us the FDRs. No, it says Arsenal, Man United in the first row.
And then, okay, well, it says it Liverpool right down below.
Oh,
Man United, Liverpool.
So one of them is here.
It says Everton. So maybe it's just Liverpool and Everton are Liverpool, flipped there. Everton. So again, apologies. Short week. We didn't have time to check any of this. So I'm going to skip that matchup and move on. Maybe just some other highlights. Leicester's right-hand side, 3.4 compared to 2.5 from the center and 2.5 from the left. Again, it's always like compare them one with the other. Like you can see some of these matchups are good all across the board. Those are less interesting than ones that are lopsided. And then the last one I'll mention is West Ham's left-hand side against Brighton, 3.7 from the left compared to 3.1 from the center and 3.0 from the right. Anybody in these zones interesting you, Nima?
I'm just having a look here if there's anyone that excites me at all. I think for me, this kind of right of, is it Liverpool Everton, as you're saying, that's very exciting, isn't it? We know who we're all going to captain, right?
That's always but like
as in
that.
If you look at it as well, though, like from game week 15, 17, it's in the period where we're saying we're going to captain Kane against Norwich, like it still looks pretty silly. Good.
No, I mean, it's always like that because of the number of chances Liverpool creates on the right with Salah. Yeah. So it always looks lopsided. So yeah, that's basically, there's no
right.
bad matchup.
But Wolves right, 4.4, it is a lot higher than I would have thought for this week. But maybe Burnley's just really bad down that wing, down their left wing.
And I think Jimenez likes to, you know, Huang plays on the left-hand side more in that front two, and Jimenez likes to shift over to the right. So I could see a good Jimenez game there, although Burnley will be, you know, rested after not playing in the weekend.
Hopefully they've had a lot of burgers and mash and pie, and they're kind of going to struggle, hopefully. Let's see.
Is that the Burnley way, burgers and mash and pie?
It's just for me, I don't know if any Burnley fans we have who are haulers, but I always thought of them as like the Brexit football team of the Premier League. And Daesh, I always thought he ate worms, but I don't want to get sued for libel. So hopefully little old net that horse too small to be on their radar. But, you know, I consider them like orcs and stuff. Like to me, they're the same as Stoke, but I consider them rugby players in my opinion. But
I guess Jimmy the Claret's an exception then, huh?
I like him. He's a good guy. That's what I mean. It's not their fans I have the issue with. It's just their players are very traditional British. Cornet, when he arrived, I was very shocked he went to that club. And at some point I wondered why he went there and not somewhere else. But I think that's an incredible signing by them. And as you said last week, it allows them to change their system.
Yeah.
They can finally stop doing what I call them rugby players, and they can do something new, find goals in a different way. And he's a very exciting talent. So It's a shame we couldn't talk about him this week after the match got cancelled. Is there anyone here? So obviously Arsenal centre 3.6. You know, that's pretty interesting against United. Who's going to be there? Like, is Maguire still out? Or was like, I think
he'll have served his suspension, right? Yeah.
So he'll probably be back.
Yeah, yeah, but, well, I mean, but Aubameyang did not look like anything interesting.
But I wonder if we might see, like, because Obba's going to go to AFCON, I wonder if we might start seeing more of, like, other experiments, like suddenly Laka's striker and Obba isn't there, or instead of that number 10 role he's been playing, or maybe Martinelli, 5.2 million mid in FPL. Maybe as soon as AFCON happens, everyone's talking about Jota at Liverpool. Maybe you'll see me rocking Martinelli game week 22-24 for 5.2 mil playing centre forward for Arsenal if Balogun and Eddie.
You've been dreaming about Martinelli for a couple seasons now. We'll see if that ever comes to fruition.
But the goal he got on that note, something I didn't mention in the previews earlier, or reviews even, I just didn't know what to do. I wanted to cry. It was so beautiful. Like, he subs on. I see Tomiyasu make this incredible pass. Straight from there, next thing you know, over the head from behind him, first time volley, keeper rushing into his face, the finesse, the corner, the net. Like, I was like, I'm so happy this guy ran straight to the fans and his family. I think you can see how much it meant to him. And
yeah.
Oh, nice to see that. That's going to be important when these guys are all away, Pepe and Obba and Partey and El Neni, God forbid.
Yeah. Ramanathan's asking, so the Everton and Man United rows on this are incorrect values. We don't know. Let's treat them as incorrect. Let's just ignore them just in case. We don't know if it's just a correct and incorrect name or if the values themselves are incorrect. So basically, Liverpool attack from the right is always good. Liverpool attack in general is always good. So at least it's simple.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I guess if you want to talk about your friend,
yes, I'm surprised the he's
being recommended in a week where they've obviously not, they've got their clean sheet, was it this week? But before this, with the goalkeeper missing, it's been a rough few weeks, hasn't it?
It has been a rough few weeks, but I see that formation. So this is the Alchemist pick of the week for the podcast listeners. And this week it is Rico Henry. I don't know where he's from. I didn't check, but it was just an opportunity there. So, and the quote is, "The secret of happiness is to see all the marvels in the world and never to forget the drops of oil on the spoon." So basically I remember Rico Henry from his days at Bournemouth. I think he was one of those 4.0 legends, right? Those legend defenders that would attack at 4.0, and then Bournemouth would, like, really bad defensively and you had to get rid of them. But I think what's happened in for Brentford is that formation switch that we've been talking about by pushing Tony further up the field. He had been dropping deep and slightly to the left to receive balls, and I think that would block the left hand lane for Rico. Now with the formation change, I think that left hand lane has opened up, and I'll bring this up. I did have some.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if Rico Henry was the Bournemouth one. I remember there was a 4 million.
That was someone else?
I think so. I thought I'd say it before someone else calls us out. But
yeah, that was. No, that was. Yeah, his last name was Rico.
Yeah, his last name was Rico, I think.
Who was that guy?
Man, I remember.
Anyway, but the name still rings with me, I guess. Because
yeah, even though it's English, from Birmingham, apparently.
Okay. So, and it's interesting because the other one was also a wingback, which is funny. So, chances conceded from the right. I'm just bringing this up here. Apologies, this is the delay updating the table. So the Spurs have conceded from their right zone. They've conceded the most chances this season from the right zone with 54. And so that combined with the formation change, I like Rico Henry to kind of get up the field here.
Yeah, no, I think it would be nice to see what he can do, but it's a big game to pick him in. It's like how I feel like you basically target Spurs because you picked Cornet last week and you didn't get the chance to see how it unfolded. So you're going to give one last stab at Spurs again and kill them. With the sword.
You might have a point. When I picked Gallagher earlier in the season, it was against Spurs and he did return. I guess in my bias.
Imagine you'd pick Smith Rowe or Saka against Spurs. That would have been incredible.
Oh man, I should have.
So just before we go to the kind of the questions and stuff from the show, live chat, and also from Twitter, I think we're going to try and keep this show quite short and sweet. So if we can get out at 1 hour 20, even 1 hour 30, great. Very short turnaround. I think there's a lot of content people are going to be catching up on, and we don't want to drag it on the Sunday night. As you say, I'm feeling ill and the heater doesn't work. So there's a lot to get through here. But before we do that, let me just quickly, as we have some water, play the advert for our strategic partnership with allaboutfpl.com. So in the famous words of Mariner, what are you waiting for?
Are you craving more FPL content? Then look no further than allaboutfpl.com. Head over there for weekly articles from some of the top content creators on the planet. So what are you waiting for? Head over to allaboutfpl.com, the website for all your FPL needs.
What are you waiting for? So I think it's the most exciting time of the game week with the 36-hour turnaround or so till the deadline, whatever it is, 48 hours. Captaincy metric, so at 77% now for the season. Mainly Salah, as you can see. So 224 points for the podcast listeners. The only blanks were in game week 2, Salah 6 points. Game week 4, Antonio minus 2. I know you captained him that week, Gabe. And then game week 7, Lukaku 4. So it seems like Salah captain is the way. I've seen it on Simon FPL Analytic online on Twitter as well. He's basically got Salah on his captaincy metric for many weeks to come. So all the algos seem to always favour Salah. The EO favours Salah. I wish I'd captained Jota this week, but it would take a brave man. So do you want to read out the game week 14? Captaincy metric results then without further ado.
So here we go. Unsurprisingly, Salah tops it with 102 on the metric. Lukaku, quite surprisingly, actually, I would say, comes in second with 89. Then Jota with 88. Mane is at 88 as well. And Cristiano Ronaldo comes in at 82. That's a top five here. When we're looking at, I mean, the consistency is ridiculous. There's not much more we can say about Salah that people don't know. 33% haul percentage. I mean, 92% returns this season.
It was the one blank, wasn't it?
Yep. I think really it's the return rate. His hauls have been capped recently, but he's such a safe captaincy pick given that return rate. And then the other thing I'll say is, you know, we mentioned it in the show last week as well, that I don't want a player on my team. If he's over 100% EO, then I'll probably captain him because I don't want points that my players get to work against me. I don't like to play the game that way, I guess.
And it's nice that all the other players are under 100%, which they weren't earlier this season when Antonio, Salah and Lukaku. No, was it Lukaku? No, it was Ronaldo. I think Ronaldo, Antonio and Salah at one point were all above 100% EO in a week. And so you kind of had seven players in your team that you wanted, plus your captain, and two of your players needed to blank, basically. It was tough times. And this is a much better situation. And I'm sure it will change around AFCON, or maybe some people will punt on Kane if Spurs show anything in game week 14 towards game week 15. But right now, it would just be a pure hope punt. Like, I've seen nothing from Spurs, even though I bought their players.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting point. I think Amon was saying my captain Wilson. Obviously, we said that was a great matchup on the FDRs. And I don't think Wilson makes it to this table, but I'm sure that if we tweaked certain metrics, it would get him up there, right? Because this is the other thing. Like, when we look at this, it depends where the weightings are. And some weeks, like, we leave players out for rotation. I doubt Wilson's down the table in the lower ranks because of rotation, but he has kind of four yellow cards. That's someone saying, and it's a bit risky, but you know, it's a bit of a weird one for me. I think just moving on from Wilson anyway, what I like about here is a lot of people have been captaining fullbacks. So just on that note, like, I've seen Trent captains, James captains, seen Cancelo captains. Right now, Trent, he's only got a 69% return rate compared to Salah's 92%. And that's significant in my eyes. Now, he has a much higher haul percentage of 46% compared to 33. So it's like, if you can get that right and you punt that captaincy away from Salah, like right now, the last three game weeks, Trent has outscored Salah. So the people who captained Trent all three of those weeks, they did fantastic. But right now, I wouldn't then take those past points as a kind of sign of captaining Trent in a future week soon. I feel like I missed those chances and I wouldn't now go against Salah. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Like, do you have any love for the fullback captaincy? Because that's something I've seen a lot outside of Salah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't captain Alexander-Arnold in the Merseyside derby. Derbies are just way too unpredictable. So, if we go back to the FDR, what we were looking at, if in the FDR, it would be maybe for James. But you were saying how there's a concern that he might not start. He could be rested. It does make sense that he would be rested this game week. That makes a lot of sense. So I could see that happening. So then you're heading into that risk, right? And all of the reasons why we do just captain Salah. There are risks to the FDR would dictate maybe a Chelsea defender, but the risks, especially the rotation risk and the safety of captaining Salah, if one of those differential picks don't work out and Salah does something, which he has in 92% of matches this season, then there's a good chance that you'll be on the wrong end of that.
Like, shout out to Dredd, obviously, he listens every week as well. And he's been captaining to a lot of success, Cancelo, Trent, mm-hmm. James, these guys. And this week, I think he did go for James. And obviously, I think James got a one-pointer. And this week, Salah didn't get much, but he still got more than that. And I think there was another time when Cancelo did really well, but Salah still got a little bit more. So it's like, mm-hmm. yes, they can pay off. But if Salah does even a little bit more, overall, it still hurts you. So I think if you get more enjoyment out of the game actually playing that way, like captaining these fun, exciting players, like, great, you can go for it. For me, I'm so risk averse. He knows me, like, I'm too shook to play like that. So credit to him. And like, I guess you get the red arrows from it sometimes, but the big greens you can get are a lot bigger than the greens I normally get. I kind of just stay afloat and stagnate and one be like 6 or 7 weeks suddenly shoot and then stay and stagnate for another month. Like, it's a very calm, secure way of playing where I feel like I can never really finish my season much below where I am now. It can only get better or stay the same. That's kind of like how it's been for 5-6 years now. So like, I'm so confident in that. And I was shocked. I've always said to you, Gabe, that I'm like a consistently mediocre player or whatever, or consistently okay or average. And when I saw my average over the last 5 seasons was better than the likes of General and Late Riser and Will from Hub, I was like, okay, like, I'm not as bad as I thought. Like, I'm not as good as the guests we invited onto Net That Hall start of the season, and maybe that was a big barometer to measure myself against. Like, these were like world number one Hall of Famers and people who finished top 1K 3 times in a row or something. Like, I think now I understand, like, okay, I'm playing better than I thought I was, and most of that has been through captaining like the same player, my premium pick, the one with the high EO. Like, last season we said Tom Stevenson, he only had 8 different captains, I think, like, and most of them were still Salah and Bruno, and then there was like a couple of Gundogans and one other random punt. And like, I do find that I like to kind of take that element out of the game, and I don't really go for fullbacks. Defensive captaincy is very rare for me. And one of the few times I did it, it stung. I captained Duffy in a double game week, as many know. Duffy himself captained himself in that double game week. So it was painful time. So yeah, because of that, I avoid that. That's a hard avoid for me. Yeah. But Lukaku is interesting, as you say. I think Ronaldo might be coming back into conversation soon. I don't know if he can kind of press the way of the Gigan press, as they say. So we need to see there. But Arsenal, you know, it's kind of written in the stars. Old Trafford, the United faithful are going to be singing Ronaldo's name when he gets his goal after he's been rested. It really worries me, this game. It's good with 5 points ahead. Whatever happens, they can't finish the week ahead of us in the Premier League table. I'll take joy in that. Sorry, any United haulers out there, but we're kind of rivals for this week. I don't really want to enjoy the game, but I'm going with a United fan, and I'm genuinely worried now because one of us is going to be getting grief by the other. That's for sure. But yeah, so I think that's really it. Should we go to the questions?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, we've got like 10 minutes for questions. If anyone's got any questions they want to ask about Gaming 14, any last minute dilemmas, any RMTs. There is one Twitter submitted question, actually, before we do.
I have a question for you, actually, before we get into it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
So, yeah, you know what? Transfers. I can actually, what I should do is that we're at the point where we don't need it. Let me just pull my team up and see what happens, right? Try to do what I did last season, where me and Mariner both took a live minus eight on air.
Yeah, no, don't take a minus eight.
Should I take a live minus eight? So I'm in this situation where, like I was saying, I could do like a Rudiger to James, which I would do this week and roll. But I don't think James plays. So that worries me.
How much in the bank?
Not that much, 0.7. So it's just enough to make it to James. But I don't really want to make that move. So then the other option is I can't really do Livermento or White straight to Alonso either. So then I have to like downgrade Tony. And I can't downgrade Antonio now because I kind of kept him, right? So for me, it's like, well, I've kept him. The Chelsea game ain't great. I don't really like him playing Arsenal, but that's not the end of the world. I've capped him many players against Arsenal. But the Brighton...
You can downgrade Rafinha. Like,
see, that's the thing. That's my other option. But Rafinha, I would want to get up to the City mid. So then I end up in a situation like this.
No, go down.
Right?
But you can't do everything, right? You go Rafinha down.
But I can. Look, so okay. This is what I mean. This is the problem. And this is what makes me nervy. Because Foden dropped 0.1 like I wanted. But he wasn't on the bench. So that kind of worried me a bit. Now, I really wanted to get Foden back, who I just sold. Yeah, I got him at 8 mil, sold him for 8.1. He dropped from 8.3 to 8.2. And I just kind of thought I could do this. Like, my plan was minus 4, first hit of the season. Alonso for Livramento. Tony to Davis, who then I could bench to play Alonso. So before I was obviously, you know, benching Livramento, I can now play Alonso instead of Tony, who I was playing, and he can become Davis. And Rafinha becomes Foden, but then it's kind of like, well, what's Foden fucking doing? Because he didn't even make minutes on the bench, and it worries me. It's too soon, the game is Wednesday. But look at that run for City. Like, I need a City attacker here, and this kind of, this makes me think, what do I do? So then you've got the likes of Bernardo and Gundogan. So then the question is, can I get to one of those guys without a hit? And do I need to prioritize everyone in one move, right? So if I get a Bernardo, can I then keep Tony as the four? Can Tony become like King? Probably not. So it would have to be a Dennis, right? So it's like there's all these movements. I could get like a Dennis, Bernardo, and Alonso. So there's just, this is what I hate. And this is why you'll notice, even though I've had two free transfers, every week I've done one, then rolled. And it just keeps continuing. There's just too many options. Like, I'm happy there's an 11 I can play. You know, I'd happily play Alonso.
I say you keep it simple. Like, you'll get your City makeup soon. Rafinha to Cornet and Livermento to James.
You love that. Oh, it's straight, but then James won't play. This is what I mean. So for me, it's kind of like,
it's the big picture, James. You got to have James. That's just,
but he's so against my EO anyway.
And make the Brown Gilmore move.
Yeah, I was like, with a wild card in my pocket, I wouldn't make that move. And I think they're both the same price. I wouldn't be banking anything. Brownhill will cost me the same as Gilmore, I believe, at this point. They're both 4.4, I thought, unless Brownhill's gone back up. But so it's a tough situation here.
You have a lot to think about and not a lot of time to think about it is the problem, I think.
The thing is, rather than everything, you'd have two free transfers again. So I'm like, so for me, I'm thinking, well, with this United swing coming and with this game potentially being a clusterfuck anyway with benchings, who knows what will happen? Do I really need to make many moves? And actually, as you say, could I just do something simple? Could I actually sell Saka? So it wouldn't be Rafinha, I'd said, if I was going to do one move when you say that Cornet. The one move would be improve Saka and then roll and have two free transfers. Because then that 11, I've got myself protected with the Rafinha ownership for the next two. He can be sold, obviously, around 16. I'm happy with that. So I'm thinking I want to be very careful what I do.
Improve Saka, go Saka to ESR as the improvement.
And that's the thing. So I don't want to go back to the same team. So I don't like that either. So for me, this becomes a problem where I'm like, damn, Bernardo and Gundogan are just 0.2 more. So it's like, what could have been there? So I can't do Saka straight to them. But Cornet, who's your mate, it could be a nice way to free up some funds. You know, as someone who is pre-wildcard, let's say, because I'm thinking to wildcard going into game week 20. So between Boxing Day, the 26th, and the 28th is the game week 20 deadline. So I've got kind of a very limited time, right? I've got between Boxing Day on the 26th and 2 days later on the 28th to pull a wild card. But in that time, Cornet has Wolves, Newcastle, West Ham, Watford, Villa, and Everton.
It's good fixtures.
That's not bad. You bring him in, have two free transfers next week. Then next week is when I could do, like, do I get a Foden back? Do I know more about him? Because I'd only really be willing to sell Tony if it was to get Rafinha all the way to Foden. Probably not to Bernardo or Gundogan. And then the other option was, as I said, if I did this move, then I'd actually just do Rudiger to James the following week when I don't think he's benched.
Okay, right? It's a lot of options. You got a lot of many options. Let's get to the question.
Yeah, we'll get to the question. But yeah, so this was it. So I'm thinking this could work nicely, like a Cornet, James, and I've still only used two transfers here.
I don't like the Rudiger to James. I don't think you get rid of Rudiger. I don't see that.
You don't.
But no, that's
you wouldn't do that.
No.
Never in a million years, eh?
Cornet is good. I like that. You got Rudiger at 5.5. He's getting forward. He is getting opportunities, even if he's skying them. He scored the other day. He almost scored today. I don't see any reason to get rid of him whatsoever. I do think you need James, so find a way to like Livermanto to James.
Livermanto to James, or I could do Livermanto to Alonso this week and downgrade Saka, for instance, or I could do Tony to King to bench King, but then use that money to do Livermanto to Alonso, to play Alonso. Well, I don't know if I'd have enough. I'd have to go to Dennis.
I think you need James. As the way you like to play, it's that you're playing the ownership, right?
Yeah, but James, I feel like he's got 4 goals from 5 shots, and I still believe Chelsea will finish third in the Prem table, and I think those points are going to keep dropping in the league for them. I've been saying this for a while. Like, I think they've been incredible. They've only let in 5 goals, but
almost 35% owned.
Well, he's 70% EO against me. He's the highest EO against me by far.
I think that's the
reason. But I wouldn't get him this week, though. That's the thing.
Okay.
Because I would only question. So the first question, there's one question from Twitter I just want to read out to you. They ask a similar question. They say, which transfer would you prioritize this week from FPL Robots? Mm-hmm. He says, Rafinha to Cornet or Huang to Dennis. So for me, it's kind of like someone's actually replied to him as well, saying Dennis, you know, has Chelsea and Man City the next two. Cornet has Wolves and Newcastle. So I think it would be odd for us to go against Cornet after talking about him all show.
Yeah, yeah. Rafinha took off in there for sure.
For sure. So live stream Q&A. So we'll give this, we've got 5 minutes, guys. Any final questions, anything people are thinking? So people are telling me, yes, I would sell Saka. Yes, I'd sell Livra. So it's good to know that two of the players I am looking to sell, they are in people's minds as the sales in my team. Do you wait for Bowen or get Cornet now? That's a really good question. So I like the idea of Rafinha to Bowen in 16. I guess I could do that because I could do this Saka to Cornet move now and not lose Rafinha yet before these two home games.
I don't like rigid transfers for mid-priced players that could get rotated, like Bowen.
Like he just did.
I don't think you can schedule a game week 16 transfer for Bowen. I think you get the player that's going to do best for you now, and like you don't not get Cornet, which is a player that's returning now because you want to get Bowen in game week 16. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, agreed. So Absolutely just says Tony and Raf will outscore Alonso. So I think that's why I can't be selling Tony yet, and I can't be selling Raf. And it seems like it is the better idea to sell Saka and Livramento, probably. I think that's the move. And maybe this is the other move, Gabe. I could do Saka to Gilmore.
Yeah, Saka to Gilmore and go with
a 4-3-3. James for Livramento.
Now we're talking.
And then I go wild card back into some balance because I've got two 4.5 mids. But for me, that feels like then I could wild card going into, like, say, game week 16. So I could go big, do some mad fuckeries, and then fix my team when all the changes happen and when I want someone like Watkins maybe or Cash, when I want the United boys. Rashford is a nice punt idea, as he says. So there's some good assets coming. I think it will mix the game up. I want DCL at some point. There's some good choices. So any final questions? So Absorologist Alchemist this week, Gabe, is Zaha, interestingly. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that. I guess that's a question and a thought.
I haven't thought about Zaha. He hasn't sparked my interest, I guess. So, I mean, I could see it maybe. I haven't looked into the matchup or anything, but... not a bad show.
I like Eze personally. I think if Eze is starting regularly, I would be very excited by Eze.
He'll be an alchemist at this season at some point, I'm sure.
Eze will make it, right?
Yeah. Just to hear you call him Easy E.
Yeah, I was going to say, so imagine in this preseason and someone actually called me out in the live chat, was like, you've pronounced Eze's name wrong. And it's like three letter name. And I was just like, Easy. I was talking about like the West Side Massive.
Easy E, baby.
Oh, by the way, let me show you guys some nice little some stuff that are coming your way. When we finally get Mariner back on the show and it's all of us, I now have my Ali G swag. Ooh, so
the bling.
I have my kind of gold chain. I have the gold bracelets. Like, I've got the shades, the strap-on goatee. So it's all coming. It is coming. But we will do it. So thank you for the 1,500 subscribers. Obviously, we said we'd do the Ali G. So Buyakasha, it will come, but not tonight. Tonight, we're going to leave you, I think. There's one or two questions left. Let's just give them an answer. So Neil Reynolds, he asked, is Lukaku a viable transfer in, given the captaincy metric? What do you think? I guess if I had Kane and I thought I'm done with these guys, is that something you would do if you had Kane or Ronaldo? Like, would you be moving one of them when Ronaldo's fixed a swing so soon and Kane has a good Norwich fixture? Like, would you just go for Lukaku, having barely seen much of him since his return?
No, I don't think so. I think we do need to see more consistency from Lukaku if we're going to invest, have serious investment in the front line. I'm starting to feel the same thing about Kane as well. I don't think Kane is worthy investment. I don't think anybody is worthy no premium forwards are really worth the investment. Get your money in the back line and in midfield for me. I think anyone moving money towards their front line is a mistake, unless you're going, I don't know, like a Scarlett to Jimenez or something like that. It's fine.
Astrolicious didn't realize we were live. Yeah, I agree. And for me, something I've seen, I don't know if everyone would agree with this, but I thought Chelsea looked better when they've not played with Lukaku this season. So I don't know if there's something there. Someone was it you who told me, like, last season, like, kind of City without Aguero almost vibes?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know yet. I don't think he's had enough time, really. I think we need to see more games. We need to see, you know, more of a style of play around him. You know, what does it look like? You can't have wingbacks cutting into the box, taking shots on goal when you have a striker like Lukaku up there, right? So it seems weird.
Yeah.
So I think they have some things to work out. But once they do, I think he could be a tremendous option. I do have a quick question. So for me, I do have the one transfer. If I could go, you know, so given I'm looking at the FDR and it's kind of screaming defense, I could go Livermento to Alonso with my one free transfer.
You can do that in one move.
Yes. Or
I think I would.
Livermento's a, you know, he's, so that's one option.
Then
I have to keep Traore on the bench.
Still got Traore, God knows.
Oh my God. So many fires.
Just as we're finally about to leave after a few final questions from the hall, as everyone starts tuning in live, they didn't even know we were live.
Maybe we'll have more questions. We'll have to go a little bit later. So, yeah. If I transfer out, if I move Livermento, then I'd have to bench someone, you know, like a Tony or a Cornet or someone like that.
You're not ready for like the glimpse I'm giving the viewers to get them excited. If we get to 50 concurrent live viewers for the next show, well, then Ali G will come out in full with the whole outfit and everything. But let's get the glasses. It's all coming together. I don't think I have all my bits, but it's just a little glimpse, guys. You'll see more. You'll see the whole Ali G outfit soon. So you were saying about Traore.
So I don't know if we have any more questions here.
So we got one up from Alan about Smith Rowe over Tony. I don't know. I think I'd probably play Tony this week. Just that penalty factor. I don't think they'll get that many in a row, but I like that. And obviously Smith Rowe, this United game, I'm very nervous about it. I'm genuinely scared. We saw how tight and difficult they made it against Chelsea. And I don't think Arsenal have us anywhere near the chance creation stats of Chelsea. So I'm nervous about that match.
I would play Tony in that.
You would as well.
Yeah.
Nice. So we've got Saka for bench fodder to enable. So Foden out from Astralicious. You just realized we're live. I guess, yeah, like it's a worrying moment. Like, we want to keep him for these fixtures, but, you know, he didn't even make an appearance off the bench today.
I think he could be fit. He did, you know, Pep said from in the press conferences that he wasn't going to be risked. So obviously he wasn't risked, but I think he could be healthy for the next match. We just have something to watch. We don't know yet.
Let me just get my little dollar chain out there. Buyakasha, guys, this is your little preview. Okay. So they're saying that we'll definitely get the 50 viewers next stream to do this. It used to be like 50 likes in the Pikachu onesie comes out. That's how I got originally into the limelight. I remember at Fest, I was getting hounded to put on that Pikachu outfit.
Nima, we have a question here from Lego Mane. Well, after FPL Planner.
Okay, yeah, sure. Let's do something. I've been leaning towards Bernardo. You've been leaning towards Gundogan, haven't you?
No, I honestly, it's a really interesting comparison. I haven't seen anything to suggest one over the other at this point. But they will be. I am doing both for FPL matchups this week, so that should be out hopefully tomorrow, but Tuesday at the very latest. Don't know yet.
Did you want to put up the question you said you had from Lego Mane?
Lego Mane, I can't because anyway. Well, I couldn't.
Yeah, just read it out.
Okay, so Lego Mane is in here. Lego Mane FPL. Should Gundo in just be an automatic consideration whenever Kev is out for a spell?
I think so, but I think we missed that because Kevin's like about to get his negative COVID test, right? So that time of him playing without Kevin is about to be up. But Tom, from who got the assist, did this, right? He actually went to Gundogan, and within 1 week, he was about to be priced out of Jota, and Jota was rising, and he just said, fuck this. He was like, I'm fixing my mistake, bitches. And he went straight for Jota. But obviously, Jota did outscore Gundogan this week, so it worked out for him. But yeah, like he had that concept of I'm going to go for Gundogan. This is exciting. Mm. And that was a couple games ago when the whole De Bruyne incident happened.
But yeah, that's a good point that Lego Mane brings up. When De Bruyne is back, it could make things a little more difficult for Gundogan. So, you know, maybe get Bernardo Silva instead. I think Bernardo Silva is going up in price tonight. So watch that. Definitely watch that.
So we got Mike saying as well, evening Mike. So he's saying he did the Foden to Bernardo move this game week. And he was also 50-50 between getting Gundogan instead. So yeah, I think that's a good one. So I think we'll call it here, Gabe. So it's been a very quick turnaround. The matches only ended a few hours ago. And I think you got to start your day and I've got to end my day, it sounds like. And Marin has woken up on Monday already, probably watching this back, wondering what the fuck I'm doing in this and doing it without him here. So before I spoil any more of the outfit, I won't show you the big yellow tracksuit from Ali G in the house. But for now, guys, this has been Net That Haul. I don't know if there's any final messages you want to say, Gabe, before I send our farewells to the haulers.
No, thanks for joining us on the quick turnaround. Good luck in game week 14. And take care of your benches.
Yeah, definitely. And before we go, beautiful point by Abzeto. Just my first said this as well. It's been 13 game weeks and only four teams, the top four to be particular, have a positive goal difference. Two teams, I think Wolves and Palace, have a zero goal difference and everybody else has a negative goal difference. So this is, the Premier League, best league in the world, guys. Christmas crunch, clean sheets coming, yeah? Okay, so Buyakasha, as I said, it's been Net That Haul. Good luck in game week 14, everyone. Go get those points. Thanks for tuning in on a random Sunday night. Next show will be Thursday with Mariner and Gabe running the ship. It will be 3 p.m. UK time. And then all three of us hopefully will be together with Ali G in the house next Monday the 6th at 10 p.m. straight after the Everton-Arsenal game. So get that in your diary. See you all soon. If you've been here and enjoyed it, hit like, hit subscribe if you're new, and see you all very soon. So take care, guys. Good luck and have a green arrow this week, please. And come and tweet us on Net That Haul. Bye-bye. See you later, Gabe. I need to play the music for Mariner, but that's ruined it. So instead of the music, I'll quickly play now that Nick's here. So we'll do the silence clip to send us out instead of this clip. So bye, everyone. Have a little laugh with Tom Simpson. This is where it all started. Definitely our most popular member of the Net That Haul crew. And you can definitely be our fifth crewmate now going forward. Definitely be our fifth crewmate now going forward. Hello, darkness, my old friend. So, just while we're here as well, guys, so please do continue